I've just recently finished a series on Leviticus, and there's going to be some similar themes here this evening from Psalm 84, because my mind had continually been drawn back to this psalm as we went through Leviticus, the beginning chapters of Leviticus. But tonight I want to look at this psalm, and some of you will find it familiar in particular because there's a praise chorus that has been written to enliven this psalm. But we're going to see there's three kinds of verses that we're going to look through, and in these verses, I want to look at three different places: a happy home, a long road, and an eternal shelter. A happy home, a long road, and an eternal shelter. And there's specific things that we do in these three different places, and we're going to look at that this evening as we read, beginning in the first four verses from Psalm chapter 84. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts! My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. When you were growing up, did you ever go into a home that you wished was your home? A happy home that was someone else's home that you wanted to be in? I had several of these places growing up. There was a family, the name of the Contreras's, a boy that I grew up with who played soccer with me, and we would go on trips together to Denver, an hour away from my hometown in Colorado Springs, and we would go in his family van, and this family was so neat and so precious, they would pray as we went. They would talk about how they were trusting in the Lord for all the provisions, and they taught me so much, and I thought, this family is such a neat and happy family. I wish that this could be my family. And this was in the midst of a certain trial, a huge trial in the life of my own family. So it was a shelter, a refuge, a lovely place for me to be. I had other friends, the Kendalls. When I went to the Kendalls' house, they always had cookies baking in the oven, and we would come after school, and we would get these cookies and milk. If I spent the night, there would always be donuts in the morning for me to eat. There was a happy atmosphere in this home. I've always had dreams of having a happy home with music. I don't have it myself. I don't play the piano. I don't sing well. I don't play the guitar, but I've always wanted to have the Van Trapp family, the family from the Sound of Music, you know, who would sing, and they would break into song and be able to sing together. I always wanted that, a happy home. The Lord tells us about his home, a happy, a lovely home. The psalmist here says that he longs for this home. He yearns to be in this home. And the Lord, he wants us to make this his home. There's a saying in Spanish, and I don't know if the Spanish people actually say it, but we say it a lot, right? Mi casa es su casa. My house is your house. You're saying, come into my house and make this your home. Put your feet up. Take your shoes off. Grab from the pantry. Take and eat whatever you want. Go into the bathroom and stink it up as much as you want. This is your house. You come in. The Lord wants us to dwell in his house. And the psalmist says, blessed or happy are those who dwell in my house. Happy are those who dwell in the house of the Lord. But who is it who dwells in the house of the Lord? If we just skip ahead real quick into the very last verse, verse 12 of this chapter, this psalm. It says, "How blessed is the man who trusts in you." How happy is the man who trusts in you? See, the person who is happy is the one who trusts in the Lord, and the one who trusts in the Lord is the one who dwells in this happy, lovely house. The psalmist breaks into this idea about birds. Did you catch that? Did you think it was odd that he started to talk about birds? Some people think that he's saying that birds had made nests in the temple or in the altars. I don't think that's the case. I think he's just kind of putting it in parentheses. He's breaking his thought. He's saying, "My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord," and he yearns for the altar, the place where sacrifice is made, where reconciliation is made between man and between God. But he says the bird has a home, a place where he's supposed to be. It's a nest. It's a place where the bird raises his young. Just as a bird has a place that he is supposed to be, so you and I have a place where we're supposed to be, a place that we long to be, and that is in the presence of the Lord, in his house, in his happy home. And what do birds do in their nests? They lay their eggs, they raise their young, and they sing. They sing for joy. You hear them chirping early in the morning and late at night, and they just don't stop singing. They're happy. They sing. So also, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a place where we're supposed to be, in the presence of the Lord, the house of the Lord, a place where we raise our children in the admonition of the Lord. We speak of the Lord as we rise up and as we go to sleep. As we walk along the way, we talk about the Lord. We raise our children in the knowledge of the Lord. But here the psalmist also says the person who trusts in the Lord, who dwells in the presence of the Lord, is always praising the Lord. He sees that the Lord is lovely and worthy of our praise. And often this is expressed in singing. "My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God." Like I said, I'm not a good singer. And many of you, I've heard you sing, and you're not that good either. But in your heart, an expression of love flows out for this lovely God. And it must flow out if you've truly seen him, if you truly trust in him, if you truly dwell in his presence. This song will come out from your heart. A couple scriptures about this dwelling. Ezekiel chapter 37. Just hear these words. This is the Lord speaking. He says, "I will make a covenant of peace with them, those who trust in me. It will be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary, my dwelling place, in their midst forever. I'll put this place where I dwell within them forever. My dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." And then Jesus comes along on the scene, right? And in John chapter 1, it says, "And the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, he became flesh, he became a man, and he dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then in Revelation chapter 21, he speaks of the future and he says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne." This is John speaking. "And it said," this voice said, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them." See, in this period in which the psalm is written, that the people would experience the presence of God by going to the temple of the Lord. But things have changed with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He became man, to dwell with us, to be with us, to show who he was. But as he died and as he rose again, he said, I'm going to send you my Spirit, my Holy Spirit, to walk with you, to teach you, and get this, to dwell inside of you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit of God dwells within you? See, no longer do we have to go to the temple of the Lord to experience the presence of God. The presence of God has come to us who have trusted in Him. It's an amazing thing. You are the dwelling place of the living God. And this changes us. This transforms us. Butch, this transforms you, just like you were talking about. It begins to change you in ways that you don't see necessarily, but you become changed and transformed by His presence. And we see this in the next verse, the next stanza of this psalm, in verse 5. We see a long road. We looked at this happy house, and now we're going to look at a long road. Verse 5. How blessed or happy is the man whose strength is in you, Lord, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Have you ever been on a hike or a long walk and you didn't have water? You forgot to pack water, or you didn't think you were going to go that far. You had no access to water. You were thirsty. Have you imagined or seen in the movies a person trying to cross across a desert? Like Death Valley, and they have no water, and they're famished, and they're just looking for water. There's no water to be seen anywhere, and they begin to hallucinate and think they see water, and they run after water, and they're trying to find it in any way they can, but they can't. And slowly they die, and they become bones, and you know, the next person in the next movie comes and sees the bones of that person. Thirsty. We're on a long journey. This world is a long journey. This is a land that has little to no water. People all around us are thirsty. But Jesus says these words in John chapter 7. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, Jesus says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And this is what this psalm says. It says, those who have their strength in the Lord, those who have put their trust in the Lord, they get this living water, not just poured into them, but it goes overflowing into their bodies and flows out to all who are around them. It refreshes those who are walking in the desert. It's as if a man walks through the desert and begins to give water to everybody who's walking in the midst of it without water. Just water continues to exude out of this person. It's like a guide who takes these people in the desert and shows them where the wells are, where the oases really are, where the rivers that they didn't see before are. The Valley of Baca, it says. This valley of weeping. A place in which most of us find ourselves in at certain times in our lives. Some of us more than others. But the one who puts their strength and their trust in the Lord, they find the water that they're looking for. They find the water that they're looking for, and they find that they have enough water to share with others. And they bring joy into the midst of this valley. In the midst of this darkness, they bring light because they have trusted in the Lord. But what do we do? What do we do when we're in this valley? This final verse in verse 8, it shows us what we do. We pray. We say, Lord, hear our prayer. See, we can't walk on this long journey without Him. We can't do this alone. Without Him, we have no water. We don't have those springs. We don't have those early rains of which this psalm speaks. But as we trust in Him, as we walk with Him in the midst of these trials, He gives us strength. He gives us His living water. I love this phrase. It says, in whose heart are the highways? The pilgrimage, your version might say. A journey. See, in your heart is not just a wanderless path, but a path to somewhere. A path to the Lord. So you're walking in the midst of this desert, bringing water to the people, and you're saying, I know where the source of this water is. Follow me. Come with me to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the living water, and if you believe in Him, out of your innermost being as well will flow rivers of living water. Have this journey to the Lord in your heart. And then in the final stanza, we find an eternal shelter in the Lord. This is verse 9. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand on the threshold of the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed, how happy is the man who trusts in You. In this last stanza, we find two comparisons. The first one, a day in your courts, a day around your presence, is better than 1,000 anywhere else. Better is one day than 1,000,000 days anywhere else. A few weeks ago, I asked you to consider a place that you really longed to be, that you wanted to be, and most of us were brought to a beach, a deserted island somewhere with all that we would want. Maybe a home or a place with our families. But the psalmist is saying that better is one day with You, Lord, than those places that I desire to be, that I long to be at. See, there's a difference. It's a difference between quality and quantity. See, the quality of one day with the Lord is better than the quantity of 1,000,000 days somewhere else. I love sweets. I love candy and treats and cake and things like that. But I would rather have one Reese's cup and one of those peanut butter cups than have one of those giant bad chocolate bunnies that they give out at Easter, right? The horrible chocolate that just makes you feel horrible. I would rather have a good quality piece of candy than a chocolate bunny that doesn't taste very good and makes me feel bad. Quality over quantity. I would rather be in the presence of the Lord than have the greatest pleasures that this earth offers us in our lives. And then he has another comparison. He says, I would rather stand at the threshold of the Lord, the house of the Lord, than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. He's saying, I'd rather be at the very cusp of where the presence of the Lord is, just outside where the Lord is, than to be under the shelter, the temporary shelter of a tent where wickedness is. I'd rather be in a permanent home or near the permanent home of the Lord than to be in a temporary tent, a tent that'll get blown away with the wind. Are you guys camping in tents this weekend? No?
Cabin, actually.
This cabin? Well, you'd rather be in a cabin than in a tent, right? I would, with a bed, I hope. Yeah? Some of you on the floor, though. You would rather be in a cabin than a tent. See, at the end of the days, maybe you want to be in a tent. In a different place from Butch, right? Well, long term, when the tornadoes come, you want to be in a good shelter. When the storms come, you want to be in a good shelter. You don't want to be in a tent. Tents get blown away. Tents get beaten up by the sun and the wind and the rain. But a house that's built well is a place that you want to be. Even if it's just on the outside where you can get the shelter, where if the wind comes, it's not going to blow over on you. A shelter. We need to be in the presence of the Lord, in the company of the Lord. For any other place in this world will be destroyed. And then we get two images of who God is. It says, God, you are my son, and you are my shield. You know that if our sun were to burn out, to stop giving us heat, you know that this earth would turn so cold within 3 or 4 days that we would all die, immediately just perish from this earth. All of civilization would be gone and destroyed. The importance of the sun. But the Lord, He is our sun. He is the one who brings us warmth. He is the one who brings us light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who believes in me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And He brings us His warmth. It says in Revelation chapter 21 that in heaven there will be no need for the sun, for the stars, and for the moon, for the glory of the Lord will illumine the entire place. And He shines His glory upon us. But not only is He the sun, He is a shield. He is the one who protects us when the enemies come. He is the one who protects us from the fiery arrows that Satan throws at us. He is the one who protects us from the storms of life. But we must trust in Him. See, a shelter is a place to rest in. A place to go to because the storms are coming. And storms are coming in our lives. He is the one to cling to, for He will hold that shield up, the shield of Himself, and protect us from all eternal harm. See, this is our God. This is the Lord of hosts. It says 4 times in this psalm that He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Almighty God. He is the one who sends the sun throughout the solar system, the moon around the earth. He is the one who has control and power over all these things. He is the living God. He is not dead. He is one who is not just from history, but is here present, will be here in the future. This is my King. This is my God, the psalmist says. This is our shield. This is our sun who brings light and warmth into our lives. And this is the God of Jacob. Now I'm drawn to this, the God of Jacob. It says that in verse 8, the God of Jacob, because my name is Jacob. But fill your name in here, Scott. This is the God of Scott. This is the God of Paul. This is your God. This is the one who will protect you. This is the one in whose presence is a happy home. This is the one who, as you walk on this long journey of life, will fill you. Who will give you water, living water, to walk on this path. This is our God. Let us dwell in His good and lovely presence forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this word that you've given us. I pray that you would help us to long to search for your presence. And until we get your presence, Lord, help us never to stop and never to cease until we reach you. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.